If you have your scriptures with you this morning, I invite you to turn to two places if you can. The first one will be Hebrews chapter 11. If you're using a pew Bible, it's page 1008. That's what we'll read first, and then we're going to quickly jump all the way back to the beginning to Genesis chapter 12. So if you want to put your fingers in those two places or whatever is helpful for you, we'll start in Hebrews 11, but then we'll jump quickly to Genesis 12. That's on page 8, I believe, of your pew Bible. So let me pray, and then we'll get started this morning. Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We're not walking around in the dark, just trying to figure out this thing called life. There's so many things that we wrestle with, how things should be and why they're not, where we wrestle with the own sin and guilt in our hearts. We're tired of it and we want to be done with it. Jesus, we thank you that you always cause us to remember that we are washed clean, that your precious blood makes us clean, that you swallowed, you drank the cup of the wrath that we deserved, and we can walk forgiven in this life. But we want to be transformed. We want to be different. And sometimes, Lord, we're in seasons of waiting, and those can be very, very difficult. And so as we look into the life of Sarah and her season of waiting, help us to learn some of the things that she learned about who you are and what you would have us to do. Spirit of God, we pray that you would teach us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning we take a break from our Nehemiah series to look into the life and faith of Sarah, who was married to Abraham. Abraham, who's considered the patriarch of our faith, the father of our faith. Sarah is easily considered the mother of our faith, the matriarch. John MacArthur, a great pastor, theologian, has a book called 12 Extraordinary Women. It's a great resource I used to help me in this sermon. But if you're looking for a good book to read, he has a book called 12 Extraordinary Women, where he looks at the lives of 12 women throughout Scripture and does intense study on their lives. It's very, very, very good. So this morning we'll look at Hebrews real shortly, a chapter sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame. All these Old Testament people that had great faith and trust in God as they lived out their lives. And Sarah is noted in this chapter. She is noted as one who considered God faithful. That, in a nutshell, is what faith is, trusting the one true God, not making up a God, not believing whatever you want, but trusting in the one true God who is faithful to keep what he promises. The full expression we'll see later on that was made to Abraham and Sarah was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that he would become the one who would bless the whole world. He would be the one who would come to restore things, to make things new, to promise forgiveness, and to put an end to death itself. This is a promise and reality that we trust God for even today. The Lord Jesus Christ, we trust him, and that God would keep his promises and be faithful. In the meantime, as we trust in these promises, we find ourselves in a season of waiting. Waiting for the full consummation of these promises to be done with sin and to be done with burying our loved ones, that death would be no more. And the question is, how well do we live out our faith in the seasons of waiting? We know we have great promises from God, but sometimes in the seasons of waiting, we can come up with periods of doubt. Depending on what's going on in your life, you'll start asking questions. Am I really a Christian? Am I really forgiven? Does God really love me? How can he forgive me? Can he really raise the dead? Is God really working in my life? Does he see my struggle here on earth? Does he see my struggle in life? Does he see my struggle in sin? In this period of waiting, it can create periods of doubt. Paul Tripp, in his book called Suffering, states there's two kinds of doubt in our faith walk. He calls the first one the doubt of wonderment. The doubt of wonderment. He says, God's ways can confuse us. His ways are not like our ways. His plans don't often mesh with what we plan for ourselves. We know God is good, but sometimes what he's doing doesn't look very good to us. And he says, if we take those questions of wonderment and ask God what's going on, he says, that's a regular part of our faith walk. There's nothing wrong with that. We're just asking, as a child would ask a parent, what in the world are you doing? Why are we going over here? Why are we doing it this way? So that's a regular part of our faith walk. But then he says there's another form of doubt. He calls it the doubt of judgment. He says that this doubt is not the result of wondering what God is doing. He says this form of doubt is the result in concluding that God doesn't have my best interest in mind. It's a form of doubt that God doesn't know what he's doing. That in this season of waiting upon God, I need to take control and do something. A doubt of judgment. It's deciding that God can't accomplish what he promises in our lives. And when we do that, when we make those kinds of doubts, we usually make some hard and drastic decisions that create all kinds of hard consequences. But through it all, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, God shows him faithful and gracious to the end. In our overview of Sarah's life, there's no way I can cover everything. In our overview, we'll see great high points of faith and trust in God and submissive and humility. And we're going to see some really, really low points where she thinks she needs to take control of the situation and creates a mess bigger than she ever thought she would ever make. But God is faithful through it all. God is faithful through all. So our theme for this morning, you'll see there in your sermon notes, don't allow seasons of waiting on God that we all go through, don't let those turn into seasons of unholy doubt, where we just do crazy things that God wouldn't be pleased with. Remember, God is faithful. He's faithful all the time. So we'll begin in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 12. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. He was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as good as dead and were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as many as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. And so our first point is that God gives his people wonderful promises. And he says, trust me. Trust me. The Hebrew writer here sums up the lives of Abraham and Sarah, and it's based around a promise. It's based upon a covenant made to Abraham and Sarah, and we find this account in Genesis 12. So if you can flip over to Genesis 12, we're going to be in Genesis for a while this morning. So it's based upon this covenant and promise made to Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. Again, if you're using the Pew Bible, it's page 8. So Genesis 12. 1-3, here's the promise, here's the covenant made to Abram. He says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I'll bless you and I'll make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless you, and who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. At this time, their names are Abram, which means father, and Sarai, which means my princess. Abraham's around 75 at this time. Sarah's around 65. They lived in the land of Ur, the Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, MacArthur, he gives us some insights into this land called Ur. He says it was a sophisticated pagan culture. Sarah and Abraham would have lived there during the very height of its power. The city government was a superstitious theocracy, supposedly under the Babylonian moon god. They worshipped a moon god. This is the same culture that built the famous ziggurats, those temples that we see in the History Channel and things. So Abraham and Sarah are living in a land of prosperity, protection, and all their families there. Think of a metropolis, Pittsburgh, think of New York. It's a well-booming city, and everything's there. It was a place to get ahead in life and to do well, but in the midst of it, they're worshiping this moon god. Abraham, who was a follower of the true God, knowledge that was passed down to him through his family, is now called to leave. Abram, leave. I want to make you a vehicle, an instrument of salvation that will bless the whole world. God said to Abraham, come away. Though you're 75, come away. I know everything's there, your family's there, but come away. Go to a place I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll give you a great land, and you're going to bless the whole world. Imagine God doing that for you. Who in here is 65 or older? Show of hands. Imagine God going up to you and saying, Betty, I got a good idea for you. I'm going to call you to a place you don't know. We're going to go. You're going to leave your family, your friends, the protection and wealth, and I'm going to bless you. And through you, all the people of the earth will be blessed. That was the promise given to Abraham. And Abraham basically says, it's a good idea. Let's go. Now, we don't know if Sarah was right beside him when she received this promise, or if Abraham had to tell her. I'd like to think Abraham had to tell her, honey, God talked to me today. He said he's going to take us to a place he's going to show us. I don't know where it is. He said he's going to show us. It's actually 1,500 miles away, we learned that they had to go. He says we're going to be a great nation. Sarah, you know how you've been wanting children? Remember, Sarah is 65. Sarah, you know how you've been wanting children? God said he's going to make us into a great nation. He's going to give us a great land. What do you think? You want to go? Well, we don't know if that's how it went, but can you imagine? She's either right there when she hears it, or they had a conversation, and they had to decide. She could have fought him and said, no way, my family, our money, our everything is here. We get nothing out of Scripture that says she ever fought him, but basically said, let's go. Let's go. There's something bigger than us going on here. He says all the people of the earth will be blessed through us. Maybe it's tied to that promise that was made to Eve, that through Eve, a son will come and crush the works of the evil one. Maybe that's the idea. It's the continuation, which we find out it is, that through the family line of Abraham, Jesus would come. They both had to conclude, let's trust God, he can do it. Let's trust God, he can do it. She was a woman of humility. She was a woman of devotion. She was a woman of submissiveness to her husband. Sarah was beautiful in appearance, it says in the Scripture. She was very, very beautiful, so much so that as they traveled, when they went to foreign lands, Abraham was scared to death. She was beautiful. She's 65, but she's beautiful to the point that Abraham thought, boy, if that foreign king sees you, he's going to kill me and take you, be part of his harem. So he would tell Sarah, hey, I don't want to die, so let's pretend you're my sister. And Sarah's like, okay. Can you imagine? Knowing that that king's going to take her and make her a part of his harem. She's like, okay. She didn't want to see her husband die. And so they would come up with these plans to try to not trust God fully. They trusted him, but they would try to take things in their own hands. They were a little bit doubtful. That could have been disastrous. In both instances in these stories, God was gracious. He protected Sarah. The kings woke up. God showed them that they were actually husband and wife, and they were like, why'd you do such a thing? You guys are nuts. But anyways, here's some stuff to go on your journey, you know, and he would bless them. God was gracious. Sarah was outwardly beautiful, even at 65, but what set her apart was her inward beauty. We get this from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. He writes to the women of the church then. He says, let your adorning, how you make yourself look, be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very, very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves. Submissive, humble, trusting, devoted. How could Sarah have a faith like that? How could she be submissive to her husband? Because she was confident in her God. She was comfortable in her role as a helper. As God is our helper, over and over it says in the psalm, and it's the same word that it's used of Eve to Adam, I will be his helper. She was a helper to Abraham. They have this great call to go. She said, I'll help him in this call. She had a great love. She had a great devotion and a great submissiveness to God. God gave them an amazing and impossible promise, and they trusted him. Today, Jesus Christ gives us great promises. He promises forgiveness, eternal life, heaven, a new heavens, a new earth, transformation, peace, power, and grace in each day. Do you trust him? Do you believe that? And as you trust him for your salvation and the transformation of your soul, do you trust him in the providence and you're working in the everyday, single, mundane acts of life? Ethel, I'm guessing you didn't think that you would go to Georgia a few years ago. But God is leading you. He's guiding you. And he loves you and you can trust him. Young ones, as you start elementary school, middle school, or high school, or college, you can trust him. As you seek to find work, as you seek to change and care for your health, you can trust him. Our Lord cares for the birds. How much more does he care for you? God gives his people wonderful promises and says, trust me. Trust me. But be mindful. It leads us to our second point. God's promises will have us in periods of waiting. Waiting and thinking that there's no way that he can accomplish what he promises. Waiting. I hate waiting. I hate waiting in traffic. And if you really want to test my patience, go to a fast food restaurant and it's anything but fast food that day for whatever reason. It seems like it takes 40 minutes just to get your food. I hate waiting. But imagine waiting year after year, waiting year after year after you hear this promise, I'm going to make you into a great nation. You're already 65, waiting year after year after year after year, and still no child. We fast forward 10 years. Sarah is now 75. Let me read to you what Abraham and Sarah are wrestling with. If you're in Genesis, jump to chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. We'll look at verses 1 through 6. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? I continue childless. The heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you've given me no offspring. A member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven. Number the stars if you're able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. He believed the Lord and it was counted to him as righteousness. It's been 10 years. It's been 10 years since God made that promise to Abraham. You'll be a great nation. You'll bless the people of the world. And there's still no child. Abraham is 85, Sarah is 75. God said to Abraham, look at the stars. Count them if you can. I know you're old, but trust me, you're going to have descendants more than the stars. At that point, Abraham believed. But Sarah, she's struggling. Sarah's struggling, as you can imagine, a 75-year-old would if you're called to have a child. John MacArthur writes, Sarah obviously had a key role to play in this plan, this covenant. Abraham would never become the patriarch of a great nation if she did not first become the mother to his children. She was surely aware of the Lord's promises to Abraham. She certainly would have longed to see those promises fulfilled. And as long as she remained childless, that sense that everything hinged on her must have pressed her like a great burden. She's 75. How could she possibly have a child now at this age? That waiting just pressed down on her. And she's probably thinking, we left Ur, that great city, and nothing's happening. And in that season of waiting, she made some unholy actions. Jump to chapter 16, Genesis 16. 16, 1 through 6, it says, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go unto my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And when he went into Hagar, she conceived, and she saw that she had conceived. She looked with contempt on her mistress. And Sarai said to Abram, may the wrong done to me be on you. I gave my servant to your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between you and me. But Abram said to Sarah, behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please. Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. It was truly, truly a mess. You see, when we try to accomplish things in our own wisdom, rather than continue to wait on God, when we try to do it in our wisdom and in our strength, we sin and make a mess. We have horrendous consequences. Now, this wasn't just the doubt of Sarah. It's just not her doubt. This is Abraham and Hagar as well. They all knew the covenant. They all knew the promises. And they all thought this was a good idea. They're all at fault. They all doubted. They questioned if God could do it. They questioned if God was faithful. They questioned if God really loved them. They are actually saying God is a liar. They're trying to make a way to make this promise happen in their own strength. They all doubted and questioned and waiting. That's 10 years. It's a long time to wait. We think way too much of our own wisdom. We think way too much of our own strength. We really do. And when we try to do things our way that is opposed to God's way, we create messes. When we think that God doesn't care or he isn't listening or things aren't happening as quickly as we would want them to, if we aren't careful, we'll make unholy choices with all kinds of disastrous consequences. This episode that happened between Hagar, Abraham, and Sarah, we still feel the consequences today. All that unrest in the Middle East between Israel and everybody else, that's because of this. Family fighting. If you find your place that in this season of waiting upon God, you have done some unholy things, go to him in confession. Go to him in repentance. Confess your doubt. Confess your impatience. Confess your unholy actions and receive the mercies and the grace and forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. God promises us we will have periods of waiting. But just be careful. Don't do unholy things. Remember Christ. Remember Christ. He's faithful. He accomplishes. Jesus is our assurance, our third and final point. Jesus is our assurance in all this. That God is faithful to keep his promises. If you have your Bibles open, jump to chapter 17. Genesis 17, 18. We fast forward. At this point, Abraham is 99 and Sarah is 89. More waiting. Years. 17 verses 1 through 8. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. You might want to underline that if you have your own Bible. I am God Almighty. walk before me and be blameless, that I may make a covenant between you and me and multiply you greatly. Abraham fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant was with you. You shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come to you. I will establish my covenant between you and me and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land, your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Jump down to verse 15. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give to you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings and people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He laughed and said to himself, Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? So Sarah, who is 99 years old, who's 90 years old, bear a child? Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, No, Sarah, your wife, will bear a son. You'll call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant. A little later on, the Lord himself visits Sarah. There's three people. And one of them is the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus himself, a pre-incarnate. So jump over one more time, Genesis 18, verses 9 through 15. Genesis 18, verse 9, they said to him, it's Jesus and these two other angels, Where is Sarah, your wife? Abraham said, She's in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah, so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out, my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a son now that I am old? Here's another one to underline. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you about this time next year, Sarah will have a son. And Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh. She was afraid. The promises here are restated to Abraham and to Sarah and expanded. Not only will you be a great nation, there will be nations, plural. Kings, plural, will come from you. Abraham's 99. Sarah is 89. There's still no child. God said, this time next year you will have a child. Abraham and Sarah laugh. That's impossible. That's humanly impossible. And that's the point. That's the point of the waiting. Our salvation, the promises of God, aren't accomplished through our human efforts ever. It's by grace alone, through God alone. Even the family line of Jesus. His power. His grace. There is nothing we can boast in for our salvation. Not one thing. It's humanly impossible. We trust and rest on the grace alone of God. He waited till they were 190 and gave them a son. And we see this fulfillment in Genesis 21. If you want to flip there, this is the last one. Genesis 21, verse 1. The Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which he had spoken to him. Abram called the name of his son born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son, and when he was 8 days old, he had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. everyone who hears will laugh over me." And she said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I've borne him a son in old age." God is faithful to keep his promises. All that he promised to them, he did in his time, in his power, and in his wisdom. And I love Sarah's confession of faith. She said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears this story will laugh over me." Who would have thought a woman 9 years old having a child? Laughter was made for Sarah. She first laughed at the impossibility of this. "I'm going to be 90 years old. I'm going to have a child. What? That is ridiculous." And a year later, her laughter changes. She's laughing. "My God does the impossible. My God does what he promises." Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Our God does the impossible. God gives his people wonderful promises and says, "Trust me. Christ can give you forgiveness. He can give you eternal life. He can raise the dead. He can transform your life. He can change you from the inside out to give you a peace that no one can take away. No one can take away. He will teach you what it means to love and to live in this life. He will take us through periods of waiting. Don't let those periods of waiting turn into unholy doubt. Always know you're forgiven. Always know that God really loves you. He gave you Christ. Know that if he can make a 90-year-old woman have a child, he can raise your dead loved one. Know that he's working in your life. Know that he's helping you with your sin. Know that he's really doing work for good for all those who love him." Know that. And how do we know that? Jesus. Life, death, and resurrection. He's a living God. These are just some of the things we learned from Sarah, our matriarch. Don't allow seasons of waiting on God turn into seasons of unholy doubt. Remember, your God is faithful. Trust him at all times. Let's pray. Father, we cry out, forgive us. For I know for myself in times of waiting, I would try to take control and do things on my own. We just make messes. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, that you never leave us nor forsake us. You're so kind and gracious, we don't deserve it. But help us wake up before we have such harmful consequences. It's so hard. Give us wisdom. Lead us. Lead us by your Spirit to trust in your promises in Christ. We thank you through the life of Abraham and Sarah that our salvation is through you alone, through your grace alone, through Christ alone. There's nothing we can boast about. Help us to live out these truths in the coming days. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.